One of the things I would like to look at today is that God has given to us a command to go in the world with the gospel. And that commandment is still in effect today. That command ends when Judgment Day begins. The true believers will be with Christ forevermore. And then God will begin to pour out His wrath upon the ones who are left behind. But as we share the gospel in the world, with our loved ones, with our friends, neighbors, don't be surprised of man's reaction, as you know. There are those who are going to think you're crazy. You're an oddball. If you're a little older, they might think you're senile. You're losing your mind and all these things. But all these things are going to happen. Man will do to you. Don't be surprised. And don't take it personally. When you're sharing the gospel with someone and they revile you or they speak bad about you, these things are going to happen. You know, the true believers, that's our desire, to share the gospel with the world, with our family. And it breaks your heart when your loved ones, whom you're close to, have nothing to do with the gospel. You know, you're sad in your heart to see your loved ones turn away from the gospel. But we know that God is in control of all things. God is on the throne. But the one thing we could do when we share the gospel is pray. Pray for our loved ones. Pray for our children. Pray for a spouse who may not be saved and who can't see what the Bible is saying, that we're only 8 months away from Judgment Day. And you have to live with that person every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And it breaks a true believer's heart and how we desire the salvation of our loved ones. But we know that God is sovereign. Whatever God does, whether He chooses to save that loved one or not, whatever God does is absolutely perfect. You're not deserving of salvation, and I'm not deserving of it either. Tell me one reason why God should save you if you are saved, and I will tell you 1,000 different reasons why He should not save you. And so, but we have to keep that in mind as we share the gospel. Let's look at Matthew chapter 5. Remember the Beatitudes? The Beatitudes, Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 10. We're going to read Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Here we read, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." You're going to be reviled because we're telling the world that in little over 8 months, Judgment Day is here, and God is going to destroy the universe. And unsaved man, he doesn't want to hear that. This is heaven. This is where he lives, his family is. He lives his life here. This is hopes and future dreams is here in this life. And we're coming with this horrible news that in 8 months, Judgment Day is here. The world doesn't want to hear it. So you are going to be reviled. God tell us beforehand, as we bring the gospel, we're going to be reviled. So don't be surprised when it happens. You see, verse 11, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake," for Christ's sake. So don't take it personally when men revile you. They're doing it unto Christ. They're doing it unto the Lord. So when the snickering and you're being evil spoken of, don't take it personally. Don't be offended at it. Don't be offended. As we go, remember also with the gospel, we best be humble. Be humble with the gospel. Why can't you see this? You know, don't know. Humility. Remember, we go on a little bit further in the gospel, you're going to see that Christ is our example of bringing the gospel, because Christ is the gospel, and look how He was treated. Should we expect any different as we go out in the world with the gospel? Because we are the light bearers of the gospel to a sin-darkened world. And by nature, we love our sin, you know. We don't want to give it up. And here we are coming with the gospel, you know. And the gospel is the nature of God's word to condemn people. We're not judging them. But the Bible judges people. And man in his sin, you know, they take great offense to the Bible. But in Matthew 5, verse 11, it says, "Blessed are you, and men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." And this, verse 12, ought to be our response. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." And all true believers are prophets. We go read the Bible and you see how the apostles and others were persecuted for bringing the gospel. Should we expect any different? No, if we're true believers and we're sharing the gospel, this is par for the course. We're going to be reviled and we're going to be persecuted. And all sorts of, as you go, I'm pretty sure many have all sorts of experiences as they hand the gospel out to people and how they react to the gospel. So we shouldn't be surprised when that happens to us. Look at Isaiah 51. Turn over to Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verses 6 to 8. Here we read, God tells us, Isaiah chapter 51, starting at verse 6. "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner." See, mankind at the end will be annihilated. You know, he's be gone forever. "But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished. Hearken unto me, ye that know righteousness," which are the true believers. Christ is our righteousness. "The people in whose heart is my law." Still talking to about his people. "Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be ye afraid of their revilings." See, God is encouraging us. Don't fear the reproach of men. What can they do to you? Who we are to fear? God, who has power to destroy both soul and body in hell. And wonderfully, in our land today, we have laws that protect us from this type of persecution. But you're going to be reviled a little here and there. We're not that we're living in a land where we're going to fear somebody's going to be knocking on our door in the middle of the night and take us away. No, but can't you put up with a little taunting here and there? Or they call you names, or for Christ's sake? What are we going through in our land, you know, in compared to others? Others in other land may be killed for the gospel. But we're not going through that. And it's only by the mercy of God. But here he tells us in verse 7, he says, "Fear ye not the reproach of men, neither be afraid of their revilings." Don't be afraid of what men say about you as you fear the gospel. Don't let it bother you. Don't be offended. Don't take it personally. Don't worry about that. That will happen. If you're sharing the true gospel, that will happen to you. Now, if you have a gospel out there saying God loves everybody, there are many who's going to embrace you and wrap their arms around you. But when you're coming with this gospel and you're telling the world that in 8 months judgment day is here, they're not going to take that very well. But that's what the Bible teaches. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. Verse 9 to 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 9 to 14. "For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death. For we are made a spectacle unto the world," you know, "and to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but ye are wise in Christ. We are weak, but ye are strong. Ye are honorable, but we are despised." We are despised. And he goes on, even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place. And labor working with our hands, being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as a filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. You see how we will be treated? We're going to be reviled. You don't take it personally. We're going to be persecuted. We suffer it. You're going to be defamed. And all these things, you know, as we listen to open forum or comments people make, you hear how men, some people calling, and we hear their response. They're angry at the fact that the Bible is teaching that we're near the end of the world. They're angry. They, by nature, we don't want to hear that. You see, in mankind, he's greatly offended by that. How can you know that Judgment Day is May 21st, 2011? Where did you get this information from? It says from the Bible. And they're angry. They're angry at it. Why? Because their life is right here in this world. You know, by nature, we love this. This is a beautiful world that God has created. The wonders of it is beyond human comprehension. But God will destroy it. It is a fact. The Bible teaches that. And by nature, the unsaved, no, he doesn't want to hear that. And you see, in the news, mankind is fighting tooth and nails, you know, to preserve Mother Earth. You know, he's into all sorts of things to save planet Earth. But the fact is, it will be destroyed. And there are those who are greatly offended by that this will happen to the Earth. And here in verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 14, and here God tells us, I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, and the true believers, we're sons of God, I warn you. See, he tells us beforehand what we will go through as if we're true believers and we're sharing the true gospel faithfully, how we're going to be treated in this world. The Bible is a sword. It cuts. It's a two-edged sword from life unto life and death unto death. So when we are in this situation, you know, whether in our family situation or out there in the world sharing the gospel, and I know pretty sure it's particularly very difficult to live in a home, especially with a wife who's saved or a husband who's saved or vice versa, and one spouse is not saved. It's very difficult to live in the household. But God's grace is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. That's what, you know, when you see when God tells us that in the day of judgment, one is going to be taken, the other left. So the unsaved is going to be left behind and the true believer goes up to be with Christ. But I imagine it is very difficult to live in a situation like that. That one spouse is saved and the other one isn't. Two kingdoms. One in light and one in darkness. And it grieves the true believer, you know, to see their spouse or their children still, you know, we know what's going to happen to them. We know in the day of judgment, when that day comes, that they will be left behind and to be destroyed at the end. And how awful that is. And we love our children, our family members, and we desire the best for them. And they cannot see. Their spiritual eyes are not open. The only way they're going to see it, unless God opened their spiritual eyes to the truths of the gospel, and all we could do is pray. But let's turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 2, excuse me. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 to 23. There we read. For what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto are we called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. Remember, Christ is our example. You see, he leave this example for us behind us. As we are walking in the footsteps of Christ, we are going to be evil reviled. We are going to be evil spoken against. and we shouldn't be surprised. And it goes on, who did no sin, verse 22, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. If you're being reviled for the gospel, you don't have to respond to it. You don't have to respond to it at all. You take it patiently, recognizing the fact that those who are doing the reviling, their spiritual eyes are not open. And once before, you were in that same situation. But God in His mercy has opened your eyes to truth. So we can understand where they're coming from. You see, they're not going to understand if God doesn't open their eyes to truth. You see, and it goes on, when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. You see, we leave everything in God's hands. So we don't have to worry about your reputation being ruined. It's ruined already, you know, but by sharing the true gospel. But we don't have to react to man's reviling or their comments or their crude remark. Are you being slandered? Are you looked upon as you're losing your mind? And all these name-calling, you don't have to respond to it. It is par for the course. You see, we will suffer as we go with the gospel. And you know, and Christ is our example. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 24. We see, look at this example of Christ as he brought the gospel. As Christ brought the gospel, look what happened. Remember, Christ is our example as we bring the gospel. And in Luke 4, this is just one example. Luke 4, starting at verse 24. Here's Christ is speaking to, he's speaking in the synagogue to these people. And he says, and he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save to Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, as the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And verse 28, And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. They were angry as Christ stood there speaking to them. You see their reaction? They were angry. See, their heart was filled with murder. They wanted was to kill the Lord Jesus. And in verse 29, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. You see their response? Here Christ, the perfect creature, is standing in front of them, sharing the gospel, and they got angry at Christ, and they wanted him dead. They wanted him dead. And let's read the next verse. In verse 30, But he passing through the midst of them went his way, and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. Did he stop bringing the gospel? No. They wanted to kill the Lord Jesus as he was speaking to them. And so, as we're sharing the gospel with May 21st, 2011, there are those who are going to get angry with us. Should that shut us up? No, if they don't want to hear it, then you go to someone else. You share it with someone else. And so on and so on. But you see the reaction of these people as Christ is bringing the gospel to them. Should we expect any different as we bring the gospel to the world? No. No. Christ is our example. He has left an example for us to follow in his footsteps. And it's man's anger is going to be directed towards us, but it's not really towards us. It's to Christ. It's to Christ. So don't be dismayed. Remember the account with in Israel with Samuel the prophet? Israel wanted a king. And Samuel the prophet was beside himself, wasn't he? He was beside himself, you know, and he prayed. Where's that account again? I think it's in 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel. I believe it's 1 Samuel chapter 8. Remember that account? Israel has rejected God from being king over them. And here's a true believer, a prophet of the Lord, and he was greatly displeased with Israel. You know, and he went to the Lord, and let's start at verse 4. 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 4. Then all the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel unto Ramah, and said unto him, Behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in thy ways. Now make us a king to judge us, like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, Give us a king to judge us. And Samuel prayed unto Jehovah. And Jehovah said unto Samuel, Hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee, for they have not rejected thee. See, don't take it personal, Samuel, or when we share the gospel with someone and they reject it. See, and it says, But they have rejected me, that I should reign over them. So when you're sharing the gospel and men you're being reviled, don't take it personally. They're reviling the Lord Jesus. This man's rebellion. You see, so here this Samuel the prophet, he was just beside himself and he went to the Lord. And God says, No, Samuel, they're doing it to me. They're doing it to me. And so it will happen to us as we share the gospel. You know, we shouldn't take it personally at all. We're going to be reviled. And then newspapers, and then personally by your friend or your family or those around you, we shouldn't take it personally. Look at Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Turn back over to the New Testament. Matthew 11. Let's look at another example of Christ. Matthew 11, verse 28. 28 and 30. God tell us, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. See, as we go with the gospel, remember, we don't put ears on and say, Look what I know. And you don't know it. No. Remember, Christ is our example. He was meek and lowly of heart. And who is Christ? He is eternal God. And so do we as we go with the gospel. We are to be very careful that, you know, we're not walking proudly, but walk in humility. And he tells us here, it says, Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As we go into the world, make sure we're walking in humility. We're walking in humility because Christ, He is God Himself, and He was clothed with humility. And so should we be, because if we're truly saved, we're Christ-like, the Spirit of God indwells us. And we should go very humbly to our fellow man and share the gospel. Very lowly, meek and lowly in heart as we go in the world with the gospel. You see, look, also remember Christ is God Himself. Look at this verse in Philippians 2. Look at Philippians 2, verse 5. Here, Christ is telling us, the Bible tells who Christ is. Remember, verse 5, Philippians 2, verse 5, it says, Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not to be robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. That's the word reputation there, the word empty. You know, Christ emptied himself and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He humbled himself. What should we do? How should we be as we bring the gospel?
like Christ.
He humbled himself as he brought the gospel. He could have wiped all these people out in a flash because he's God himself, but he didn't. So we ought to be clothed with humility. We ought to walk in humility as we share the gospel with the world. We don't go about bragging what we know and look at me, look what. No, we don't want the attention to be on us. We want the attention to be on Christ. That's where we want the attention ought to be, on the Lord Jesus Christ, as we share the gospel. And it says, but made him, verse 7, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that is our example of bringing the gospel. Of bringing the gospel to the world. It's not how much we know, but what the gospel that we're bringing to the world, we have to make sure that is faithful to God's word, the Bible. Make sure what we're sharing is true. It's true. This is what the Bible says, because as we share the gospel, we are saying, thus saith the Lord. And we better make sure that what we're saying, God did actually say it, that it is true to the Bible. But let's turn over to the book of Acts. Turn book of Acts, chapter 20. As we bring the gospel, we have to bring the truth, the whole gospel. We have to warn the world. You know, I often wonder, those who are, so they're bringing the gospel, and they're not warning the world of May 21st, 2011. What are you telling the people? Judgment Day is a little over 8 months away. There's an urgency here. You have to tell the world what the Bible says, not what we like or what we don't like. You have to tell the world what the Bible says. Acts chapter 20, starting at verse 19. Acts chapter 20. We're going to break right into the middle of the chapter, but let's pick it up at verse 19. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. See how we had to serve the Lord? With all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the laying in wait of the Jews. And now I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and affliction abide me. But none of these things move me. Here is Paul the Apostle under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. All what he went through, all the reviling and all what he went through, none of these things moved him. He didn't take it personally, because his mind was focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, none of these things, what he went through, moved him. Neither count I myself dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day, I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. As we go with the gospel, we should bring the total gospel. We have to warn the world of coming judgment. We tell them about the grace of God, and we have to tell them that judgment day is almost here. If you're not warning them that way, what are you telling people? We have to tell our children. We have to tell all who we come in contact with that judgment day is almost here. That word shun here in verse 27 is the same word that is used in verse 20. Well, if you look at verse 20 in the same chapter, it's translated as kept back. We shouldn't hold nothing back. We tell the world of May 21st, 2011. We shouldn't shun from declaring the gospel. So that word shun there is used up here as kept back. We don't hold back and be afraid to tell people about May 21st, 2011, that judgment day is almost here. You have to tell the world what the Bible says. You see, we shouldn't hold back. We shouldn't keep any try to keep anything back from man as we share the gospel. But, you know, I read this verse in the interlinear. And it reads this way. It says, "For I did not keep back," shunned. You see the same word? Is this the way it's translated in the interlinear? "For I did not keep back from declaring to you all the counsel of God." As we declare the gospel, as we go, though you're going to be reviled and be persecuted, we don't hold back. We don't keep back the gospel. We tell the world what the Bible says. Not our own thoughts and ideas or what you think is true or whatever it is. No. Our thoughts doesn't come close. We tell the world what the Bible says because the Bible is the Word of God. We shouldn't keep back. We shouldn't shun from declaring. It makes the world angry or you make your loved ones angry or whatever the case is. But we do it in humility. We tell the world what the Bible says. A judgment day is practically here. You say only a few more days, a few more Sundays remain, and we tell the world with great urgency that that day of judgment is almost here. And there's still salvation with God. You see, God is still saving a great multitude because we are the watchmen. Remember Ezekiel 33? We are watchmen. See, that's what the Bible calls. Let's read that for a little. Ezekiel 33. Remember that wonderful passage there in Ezekiel 33? Let's read a few verses of it. It says, "Again the word of Jehovah came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them," speaking to them these things. You see, "When I bring the sword upon the land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people." And what are you going to warn them about? God, the judge, the enemy is coming. And he's going to kill you. You're going to be destroyed forever. You know, he's going to destroy you. But there is a way of escape, you know, by crying to the Lord like the Ninevites did of old. God is merciful, isn't he? That's what we should tell the people. You know, judgment is at the gates. The judge is at the door. You know, he's about to come in on you. But there is a possibility of salvation, you see. And he goes on. Verse 4, "Then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh warning," well, those who are going to hear are God's elect. They will hear the warning. We don't have to worry about that. That's God's business whom he is elected to salvation and who he's going to save. That's not our business. It's God's business. But so those who will hear the warning, many people hear it, but those who have God has given ears to hear, they will hear it, his elect. "And then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come upon him and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul." And those who take warning are God's elect. "But if the watchman see the sword come," you know, we're supposed to be the watchman, we see the sword coming, "and blow the trumpet and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand." And God goes on. You see, we had to sound the alarm in the city. A judgment day is almost here. It's not pleasant knowing what is about to befall upon the unsaved of the world. We weep for our loved ones. Remember how God wept over Jerusalem? You know, Christ, he wept over them. How he would gather them as a hen, gather her brood under her wings, and he would not. We go weeping with the gospel. Isn't that what the Bible tells us? If you look at Psalm 126. We go in this world weeping, spiritually speaking. And some of us cry tears, you know, before God, for our loved ones. In Psalm 126, just short verses. "When Jehovah turneth again the captivity of Zion, we were like unto them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with singing. Then said he, they among the heathen, Jehovah hath done great things for them. Jehovah hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Jehovah, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed. Seed of the gospel, you know, with precious seed. And says, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. So we go out in the world weeping with the gospel. You know, we go out with a heavy heart, sharing the gospel with, it's a joy to do for the true believers. We have a great joy to share the gospel with the world. But, you know, judgment day is coming, and we know what is ahead of those who know not God. It's our duty to do this, to lay our life down as Christ did for us. And as we go with the gospel, we go weeping. Because the days are shorter, they're getting judgment days in sight. It's coming very quickly upon us. And we are to go with eagerness, with humility, as Christ did, and pray. And pray as we go forth. Okay, let me stop here and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that salvation is still possible yet in our day. And that you're saving a great multitude in our day. How can it be, O Lord, that you have revealed to thy people what you are about to do? Judgment day is almost here. O Father, we pray as we go with the gospel to go in humility and to be faithful sharers of the gospel and teachers of the gospel. And O Lord, we know that you are still saving a great multitude. But we also know that a great, great part of this world will end up in the day of judgment to face the wrath of God. Oh, Father, we thank you for this privilege to be a part of this great work that you are doing to save a great multitude of people to thyself. Oh, Lord, we pray for all of us who are here, who are hearing thy word here today and over the internet, that you might bless, oh, Lord, thy words to their hearts. And we pray for our children. We pray for our loved ones. This could be a spouse, a friend. But, O Lord, we ask that in the end, may thy perfect will be done. And, O Lord, we trust in that. And, O Lord, we thank you for this day. And we pray for the next study as Chris comes with thy word, that you will be with him. And bless, O Lord, thy words to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take a 10-minute break till about 11.